Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move today. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for tuning in again to another Sunday Night Live. It is going to be a good one. We have Dr. Sharp in the house tonight, and I'm so excited because he's a powerful teacher of the Word. I could just sit and just bask in listening in the teachings that he has is such a strength and an encouragement. And everybody, let's welcome Dr. Sharp. Good evening. How are you, Dr. Sharp?
Natalie, I'm doing well.
Well, good. I tell you what, when you get to teaching on that Word, I could just sit and I could listen. And one thing I really like about that is that as you teach the Word, it's always about God, it's always about Jesus, and it's not about you. And not that I'm saying that any, but it's always about what God wants. It's always about what God is doing and the goodness of God and the things that God has for us. So,
well, if you're preaching anything else than that, then you need to quit preaching and go drive a truck or something.
There you go. That's right. That's right. Well, what's been going on in the world of Dr. Sharp?
Well, other than a little matter of a tornado we had the other day, everything's been going well.
That's right. For our listeners that may not know, Dr. Sharp lives in Perryton, and they had a storm come through a couple of weeks ago, and I guess your community is trying to recover from the damage.
Yes, the downtown area was just devastated. A lot of the old landmark buildings, some of them over 100 years old, have just been wiped out. Some of them just only the brick walls standing, the roof, everything has collapsed. And it hit at the worst possible time. It was a time when people were getting off work, and they were getting in their cars, people were trapped in their cars. I saw one picture of a car that had been pushed up on the curb and pushed into the picture show there at the Ellis Theater.
Oh.
So it was just, if you drive down there, it's just terrible. You know, and they said it was at first an EF2, and I was going, there's no way, because the devastation, but they did upgrade it to an EF3. And looking at what an EF3 did, I'd hate to see what an EF5 does.
Oh, I know. And that's, yeah. And so with the community, are they still, efforts and still trying to come back from this or still active?
Oh, yeah. There were so many homes that are completely obliterated. And, of course, it hit the trailer park, and all that was left of the trailer park was the slabs that was parked next to the trailers. It's just, you know, trailers were just turned into, you know, trash, you know, just blowing against other buildings and, you know, nothing left. They took foundations and literally twisted them. So it was devastating. There's a lot of people that probably will have to leave because all the rent houses have been rented out. There's nothing for people to live in. So, you know, we've undertaken some people where there's a widow lady here where our church is going to rebuild her roof and everything like that. We've been taking up donations for that. You know, that's our job. But they're still digging out. There's still tons and tons of debris that just needs to be dumped. So it was devastating. You know, but the big miracle, and of course we lost three people. That's sad. But the big miracle that it was only three.
That's right.
You know, there was hundreds put in the hospital, but you know only three died. So to me, that's a miracle for it to hit downtown at that time of day, and there was only three that was lost.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, the thing that I have been so upset about is people go around saying, why did God do this? Well, God didn't send that tornado. You know, the Word of God tells us that it's the thief that comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And Jesus came to give life, and that more abundantly. So, you know, if you're blaming God for this, you're, you know, even insurance companies blame God. They call it an act of God.
Yes.
It's not God that does this. We serve a good God, not a bad God.
That's right. Amen.
You know, so many people look at God, have a vision of God, of this angry God sitting up on his throne with a big baseball bat waiting to hit you with, and, you know, in his perfect Clint Eastwood accent, go ahead, make my day. You know, like he's waiting for someone to mess up so he can bash him. That's not God. That is a false impression of God. Matter of fact, it's a demonic impression of God. He's a good God.
That's right. And, you know, if some people will look back, that is probably something that they were taught. I can remember hearing some things that people talk about growing up. The parents or some people, grandmas or whatever, says, if you don't stop that, God's going to get you.
Yeah.
And so that's something that, you know, they have that perception that, oh, my goodness, if I'm not good, God's going to get me.
Well, what they have is an Old Testament concept of God. You know, you read the Old Testament and it'll scare your pants off at times. But the reason God brought the law in the first place is that the devil was going in and literally wiping out people's cultures. Sin was rampant and people were dying right and left. God instituted the law to show people the severity of sin. Sin will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And God didn't want that, but he instituted the law to show them they needed a savior. So,
that's right. You know, I think about kind of like the relationship with our earthly parents as a child, the child and relationship, parent-child relationship. And we, you know, because of the Bible saying that if we do not discipline, we don't love our kids. And so I think about that, and we say, don't go out into the road, and now we're trying to control your life, don't walk out into the road. Well, no, don't walk out into the road because you could get hit by a car.
Yeah.
That's going to kill you if you do that. And so if you do that, I'm going to spank you. And I'm going to spank you because I've told you, do not go into the road. Now, I don't know if that's a good analogy, but what I'm trying to say is there's things to set in place to protect the people, to protect his people that would lead us into goodness, into bless, into favor.
Yeah, there's, you know, we have such a perverted concept of God. You know, in Romans, the second chapter, verse 4, it says, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. You know, I was raised in church, and I heard so many sermons where the pastor, or usually an evangelist, literally tried to scare people into the kingdom. You know, they talk about hell and the eternal fire and the worms eating your flesh and all this other stuff. And while that is all true, that's not what leads you to receive the Lord. It's his goodness that leads you to repentance. It's his goodness that will bring you into salvation.
And, okay, where did you say that was at? I'm going to look that up.
Romans chapter 2, verse 4.
Because I love that. It's the goodness of God.
Mm-hmm. You probably need to read all four verses, but that's where it says, it's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance.
Mm-hmm. Well, with all of everything that's going on in Perryton and the things, I guess everybody in your family are all doing well.
Yes, everybody's doing well. The tornado hit probably 8 to 10 blocks from my house, and you know we got high winds, but we didn't get any damage.
Yes. Now, are you one of those people that goes to a shelter or goes to a cellar, or are you one of those that waits and may or may not go to the cellar? I say that because, you know, most men will be like, I'm not going to the cellar. I'm just kind of curious.
No, I this storm kind of caught me off of guard, but and a lot of people can't grasp this, but we have authority over those things.
That's right.
And, you know, 2 days later, we our alarms went off, and there was another tornado coming our way. And my daughter and her family come over to my house to get into our basement, and I just stood out on the porch and rebuked it. You will not come here. And it veered around and went somewhere else. And so I've been watching my radar trying to stop this, because we have the authority to do that. You know, Jesus spoke peace to the storm, and it was stilled. And he told us that we can do his works. He said, the works that I do, you shall do. You know, he raised the dead. He opened blind eyes, deaf ears. He caused the lame to walk. He stilled storms. And then he turns around and tells us to do the same thing. And the church is woefully failing in that area. They have no idea of the authority and the power that is placed within our spirit because of what Jesus did.
That's right. And that is so true. We don't realize that. You know, a couple of years ago, we had a tornado that was coming right to our home. And even to the point where even my husband was going to the cellar. And something rose up in my spirit, and it's to go and rebuke that storm. And so mm-hmm. I walked out off the back porch, and I just began rebuking that tornado and commanding it. And mm-hmm. it ended up changing directions and going going away from my home. And I just don't think that we as believers realize how much power and authority that we have through Christ.
Absolutely. You know, I learned this back in the 70s. I had a pastor that was way above his the time of most church people, but he and his family were on Highway 35 going to Dallas out of Temple, Texas. And he looked over to the west, and there was a tornado starting to come down. Pulled over the side of the road, he and his wife, his two sons, got out and started rebuking the thing. It went back up. They got in the car, another 10 miles or so, and another tornado started to come down. They pulled over. They did that 7 times. And all 7 times, that tornado lifted up and dissipated. So we have authority. And most churches are not teaching the authority of the believer. And, you know, God didn't leave us here powerless.
That's right.
Most Christians are, but it's a lack of knowledge of the Word of God. So many people have a doctrine that it's one thing and that's it. You know, I was raised in a church where the entire gospel was you must be born again. And that was it. And 50 weeks out of the year, we got a salvation sermon, and then we got an Easter sermon and a Christmas sermon. And that was all we ever got. You must be born again. And I heard that for 24 years before I realized there was mm-hmm. more to the Bible.
You know, that's actually exactly what happened to me. We were going to a church that taught just the same thing, what you're talking about, but not anything beyond that. And I believe that at that time, that is when God moved us to another place and put us in another church that we could grow and learn that if, and one of the things is, I realize that if God is did all of these things then he'll do them now. What makes it any different? And then you go on to see the scripture that says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
And so it gave me some conviction, and I began to study the word and get into some teachings and to learn, you know, what authority that we have.
Amen. You know, there's another scripture here in Ephesians 2:10. Says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk." And we're supposed to be doing these things. And most Christians, all they're hearing is, you need to get born again and you be a sweet little darling and come and support the church and pay your tithes and everything's okay. But, you know, America's going to hell in a handbasket because the church has backed off of everything God has told us to do. And, you know, until the church rises up and stops going to church and starts becoming the church, we'll
That's
see some change. So many people think all their duty is show up on a Sunday. You know, go every Sunday. Surely doesn't mean that. But we go as much as we can and think that that's okay and that they got their brownie points. God doesn't give out brownie points. God expects us to go do the works that Jesus did. And that upsets a lot of Christians because it's comfortable going to church and doing nothing.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, and I have been, and this is one thing that God's kind of been, which I talk about this quite often, but God's bringing this back around for me. Several things, but one thing being that we as people sometimes think that ministry is for the pastor.
And it's not.
And ministry is for the people. And it's not who's in the pulpit. It's supposed to be where you take God with you wherever you are in wherever it is that you work and whoever it is that you come in contact with. That is the ministry.
You know, Ephesians 4:11 says, "For he gave the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher." And King James says, "For the perfecting of the saints." But the word "perfecting" is not a good translation there. You can use that, but the better translation is "for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry." The ministry is the congregation. The pastor's job, the evangelist's job, prophet, apostle, teacher, their job is to equip you to go out and heal the sick, win the lost, cause the lame to walk, the blind to see, and the deaf to hear. That's our job, and we've put it off on the pastor. I've heard people say, "Well, we pay the pastor for that." You better not be paying the pastor for that. He's failing in his job. His job is to equip you to go do the works of the ministry.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And so many people think that the pastor is the most important role, maybe, I guess, when it comes to ministry. But when in reality, it's the ones that are going out into the world. That's what's important, is those that take it out of the church and use it and be an example to those wherever God has planted them.
Amen.
Not all of us are called to be behind a pulpit.
No. But all
and
of us are called to be ministers.
That's right. And that's okay. That doesn't mean that you are less than that pastor, but that you have a job to go out wherever you are to take that word. And you hear so many times about godly businessmen that will take that, you know, they will use their business and they will with their, you know, what they know in the word and use it as an influence. And I think that's great. That's what God intends for us to do.
Yes, we have a lady in our church. She's just truly amazing. She does therapeutic massage. And she probably wins more people to the Lord with her massage business than most pastors do in the pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
She's constantly getting, you know, I doubt if there's a week that she's not actually winning somebody to the Lord that is laying there on their table getting a massage. She's just truly amazing. So, you know, and her business was ground zero in that tornado. They had a building that she was in, and her room was actually an add-on to this older building. And the older building was just almost totally destroyed, and her add-on wasn't even touched because she was in it.
Wow.
But that's our job.
That's right. That's right. I was trying to recall a story, but shoot, it just left me. It'll come back in a minute.
Amen. He'll bring everything to our remembrance.
Oh, isn't that the case? And that is one thing that I like to tell people. Have you ever lost something and you can't find it? Well, then pray, Lord, show me where that's at. And because, you know, most people will be like, I don't know if I hear God. You know, how do I know if I hear God's voice? And that's one thing I say. That's one way. If you ever lose something, being one way, you know, ask the Lord, will you show me where that is? Mm-hmm. And I know for me, time and time again, he has given me a picture, a vision of where that is sitting, and I'll go, and there it is.
Amen. There's also another way you can pray about that is to ask for a ministering angel to bring it to you.
Yes.
You know, because they're all ministering spirits sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. And I don't know if I ever shared this with, I had a lady in our church that she was driving down the highway and she's turning into her driveway and she's doing about 30, 35 miles per hour. And she noticed something on her fingernail and on her ring finger. And as she turned in, she flicked that thing off her fingernail and her wedding ring went flying out at 35 miles an hour into a ditch and high weeds.
Oh.
And, I was coming in from work and I saw all these cars on the side of the road and she had panicked and her brothers and even my wife was out there. They were on their hands and knees out in that ditch looking, and her brother even had a metal detector out there and they found I don't know how many thousands of pop tops out there. But I was standing in the middle of that road that she turned on and like I said, right in the middle of it. So the ring would have been out about 20 or 30 yards from where I was standing. And I finally, it hit me. Why don't you ask an angel to bring it? So I just verbalized that. And there was a guy standing next to me that was an agnostic. He was a nasty agnostic. He laughed at us. But I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, you said your angels were sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. I'm an heir of salvation. And I asked that he bring that ring to us in Jesus' name. And he was just laughing. And as I looked at him, I saw a sparkle. And I looked down, and between my legs was that ring. Right in between my feet. I picked it up. There wasn't even dust on it. And I said, well, here's that ring. And all he could do is, and I gave it to the lady. And it was a good probably 15 to 20 yards away from where it would have landed out in that ditch.
Yeah.
So I'm a firm believer in doing the word.
I mean, it works. God gave it to us, and it works. And, you know, I just think about, James and I, we've been going through John together, and I want to say it's right around John 10, but basically it's talking about, you know, I am the vine, you are the branches. But God being the vine dresser, you know, he's the gardener. He's the one taking care of everything. He's the one, you know, anyway, saying just being connected in him, just be connected to Jesus. You will produce fruit.
Amen.
And so anyway, there's just been several things that come up. It's just amazing to me how as many times as you read the word, you still find something new.
Amen. You may read one scripture 100 times, and on 101st time, he brings forth a revelation, and you say, I've never seen it that way.
Yes. And that's what's been happening to me going through John this time, it's like, oh my goodness, it's like every chapter I'm reading, it's like, I never saw that before. I never saw that book before.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so just seeing it in a different light, I think more with, I can't explain it. But anyway, it just makes me love and appreciate the word. That's what I'm getting around to.
See, the Lord brings progressive revelation to you as you're ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you need to consistently read the Word of God. I've read it cover to cover numerous times. And like I said, there's times I come across a scripture and I know I've read it before, but it's like I never read it before. Because
yes,
now I fully understand it. And you get these, why didn't I see that before? You weren't ready for it. And He will progressively bring more and more revelation as you get into it and you begin to do His word. If you never do it, you're walking in deception. The word says,
right.
Be you doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. It's not even the devil deceiving you. It's self-deception. You think everything's okay because I've gone to church. No, you need to be a doer of the word. And you can be a doer of the word because Jesus provided everything for you. It's already yours. So many people keep waiting on God to do something. Well, they're going to keep waiting because He's already done it.
That's right. That's right. Well, and it's like it says in, I want to believe it's 2 Peter, but it might be in 1 Peter. And so he has given us everything that we need for life and for godliness.
Every spiritual blessing. In other words, it's all deposited in your born-again spirit.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's, we talk about spiritual blessings and we think it's that floating out there somewhere. We're waiting for God to send it. But Jesus is at rest. He's seated at the right hand of the Father because everything is done. He provided for our salvation. He provided for our healing. He provided for our deliverance. He provided for our prosperity. He provided everything we have need of. Everything in the Word of God, every promise of the Word of God is wrapped up in that little four-letter word, sozo, which is translated saved, or soteria, which is salvation. And it's all wrapped up in you being born again. As a born-again believer, I've got everything Jesus had. Now, to a lot of religious people, that sounds like heresy, but it's true. It's Bible. Many people read the Bible with colored glasses that's shaped in their denomination, and they got to take those things off and start reading the Word as something that is for you and it's for today.
That's right. And I believe some people are wearing that lens of what other people have taught them growing up, whether it be, you mentioned churches, but it could be family members or people that are around you that have caused you to put on this lens of interpretation of what they have said.
Yeah.
Go to the Word. That was one thing back in, early, my kids were young. I was telling my husband, I said, the kids had got back from church camp. And I said, they got the gift of speaking in tongues. And he was like, what? And it just really, because at that time, he wasn't sure how he thought about it. He thought it was, you know how people think about that. And so... Yeah. So what he did was he prayed, and he went and he started going to the Word and searching out what does the Bible say about tongues. And then he realized, we're all supposed to be doing this. Why don't I have it? And so he began, on his own, he began praying for that, and he received it.
Mm-hmm.
And he grew up with a negative attitude from people and churches that he were around and were, with, that had that negative attitude or the negative comments about speaking in tongues, praying in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
But until he went to the Word and he searched that out on his own, was he able to believe?
Right. Yeah, I was raised in a denominational church that spoke against it. many even insinuated that it was of the devil. Before I got born again, I've been in bars before, and I've never heard anyone speaking in tongues or bringing forth a gift of prophecy or anything like that in the bar.
That's right.
So it's not of the devil. That is a deception of the enemy that was placed within the church to try to keep them from it. Because the word says in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And the enemy does everything he can to keep you out of power, because then he can keep his thumb on you. But once you receive the power of God and you get the revelation of God, his kingdom is in trouble. You know, the people he's made sick, you can make well. The families that are split up, they can be healed. But God wants us to walk in the power of his Spirit. You know, if you got the Word and the Spirit going together, the devil has no chance.
That's right. You know, going back to that chapter, I remember why I brought that up, where you are the vine, I'm the branch, or I'm the vine, you are the branches. Well, he goes on to say, because, you know, you were saying that when you were praying over that ring and then that guy laughing at you, Jesus tells you that when you are a part of that vine, the world is not going to like you. The world is because you're of me and you're not of the world, and they don't understand it and they don't get it. And so that's what I was thinking of earlier when I brought that up, that that's what it is.
Yeah.
They don't know. They don't know anything about it. Jesus says they don't know, yeah. And so because they can't get it, they don't know, they hate you. They don't like you. They persecute you.
Yeah. Well, the word says that the flesh is enmity to the Spirit. And that word enmity basically means war. And, you know, Paul cautioned a lot of the Christians, as you're walking as mere men or carnal-minded people. In other words, you're thinking more like a person that's not even saved than you are being a person that is saved. And I've noticed that you can be a group of three and have a lost person, a born-again person, and a born-again spirit-filled person, and the lost person and the born-again person will literally come against the spirit-filled person, because it's warfare. If you're being led by the flesh, you will be at war with the Spirit. And we've got to get into the Word and destroy that thing. Stop walking in the flesh and start walking according to the Spirit, which basically means you're walking according to what the Word says.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, there's another scripture in Ephesians 5, starting with verse 8. It says, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord." In other words, as a born-again believer, you are light. "Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." So the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, it's all righteousness and truth. And what is truth? The Word's truth. So we are to walk according to the Word, and we'll be walking according to His goodness and His righteousness. But see, most people won't do this because they don't feel righteous. You can go into a lot of churches today and say, "Raise your hand if you're righteous." And very few people will raise their hand. Most of them will drop their heads and go, "Oh, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace." Well, that can't be. You're either an old sinner or you're saved by grace. The two don't happen. Now, you can walk as if you're an old sinner, but you can still be born again. But you can be walking as a lost person because you're not walking according to what the Word says. You don't believe what the Word says about you. You've got to know who you are because of what Jesus did. You've got to know what you have because of what Jesus has provided. And then you got to be able to know what you can do because of what Jesus told you to do. And if you don't know those things, you'll walk around thinking you're just nothing, you're nobody. And, of course, a lot of churches are preaching that. But I am a born-again child of the Most High God, and anything He said I can do, I can do.
That's right. And we have people walking around with the attitude of, I don't know if I'm saved because I'm not a good, I'm not righteous, I'm not good. Well, they're questioning their salvation. And I believe you said on several shows ago that I've had several times ago that people need to get past that. You're saved. Come on now. Let's move forward in what God has called you to do. Yeah.
See, what where most people get hung up, they get born again, and then they hear scriptures like you can't be touched by sin, or you're righteous, and you know everything's been given to you, and you're going, hey, look, I still got some of the same habits. I'm still thinking stupid things. I'm still saying stupid things. Apparently, I didn't get saved. But you got to understand, you are a tripartite person. In other words, there's three parts to you. There's the spirit, the soul, and the body. Your soul and your body didn't get saved. It was your spirit. You're living in that body, and you have a soul, which is the psuche, or the mind, the will, and the emotions. Those didn't get saved. You, the real man, got saved in your spirit. Now, as we get into the Word, we begin to believe the Word, we can pull what's in my spirit out into my thinking and into my flesh. You have to begin to allow the God to work his way out of your spirit man. So, you know, if you got born again, your spirit is perfect. Your spirit is holy. Your spirit is righteous. Your spirit is everything just like Jesus. But the rest of you has to learn that.
And that's right.
If you still have, if you got born again with a habit, the habit's still there. But you got to get into the Word and find out how you get rid of that habit. We are told to renew our mind with the washing of the water of the Word. And that word renew is an architectural term. It means to take a room and completely gut the thing, take the walls down to the studs, and then completely remodel that. That's what you have to do with your brain, because your brain has all kinds of false teachings. It has all kinds of myths in it that's been taught by from the pulpit or from family or friends or maybe even your experience. But those are not truth. The Word of God is truth. So when you get into the Word, you're slowly but surely ripping down the sheetrock. You're pulling down, you're stripping the paint off the walls or the paper off the walls. You're literally getting rid of those false doctrines that we've been taught all of our life. You know, that God's not good, and that God's going to punish you, and if you don't pay your tithes, you're going to go to hell and all this other stuff. That is all a bunch of lies. The Word tells you the truth, and you need to find a church that is preaching the truth, not doctrinal theory.
That's right. That is so true. And that all goes back to what you said earlier, where our flesh wars with our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's the war that's going on, you know, and we have to yield to our spirit and, like you said, teach ourselves.
Yeah.
Teach ourselves. Reteach us.
So we have to grow into the things of God. You know, we don't even have our own faith. We have the faith of Jesus. You know, when you got born again, he placed his faith within you. But we don't walk in it because we don't know how. We actually, you know, I was raised up during the charismatic renewal and the faith movement and all this, and we were taught you had to grow your faith. Well, you can't grow your faith. You can grow into his faith, though. And that may be a revelation to a lot of people. But we actually grow into the faith of Jesus. That's why he said, the things I do, you can do, because you got my goods. You got my faith. You've got my power. You've got everything that I walked in on the earth. Jesus didn't come just to save us. He came to be an example of a born-again, spirit-filled man walking on the earth. He didn't call himself the Son of God. He called himself the Son of Man.
Mm-hmm.
And so, actually, he operated during the Old Covenant. The New Covenant didn't even happen until he went to the cross, died, and resurrected. And we had the New Covenant. But he walked in perfection and power, and we can do the same thing because of what he did for us. And it's all a gift.
That's right. So what is your opinion on people that use the analogy of faith is like a muscle? You've got it, but the more you use it, the stronger it becomes. What's your thoughts on that?
It's not a muscle.
We're born with muscles, but if we don't work out, then our muscles won't grow.
Well, that's true, but like I said, you're growing into it. You know, when I was a kid, my mom was famous for finding sales, and she would buy me shoes or pants or shirt or whatever, and she'd buy me two. She'd buy me what I need now, and then she'd buy the next size up because she knew I was going to grow into it. And see, we have all the faith we need, but we have to grow into it, and you do that by hearing the Word of God. You begin to hear, oh, I can be healed. You begin to hear, oh, not only can I be healed, I can lay hands on the sick and see other people get healed. So you begin to start functioning according to what is the Word says, and the faith comes with it that's necessary to do the works.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see that?
Yes.
So it's not a matter of growing your faith, it's growing into the faith that He placed within you. And I know a lot of people in the faith movement will get upset about that, but they'll just have to grow up.
Oh, goodness. So are you still teaching on Sunday nights? Well, good,
yeah.
I don't know. You are. And so what are you guys going through right now?
We're using Karis Bible College course on You've Already Got It.
I believe that it seems like you've been doing that for quite some time. Is that right?
Yeah, it was about 30 weeks of study there.
See, most of those care studies, which are very good, are several weeks long. Because
there's
so much
actually
information.
Several months long.
Yeah, that's right. Almost a year.
Yeah, I've got about $500 worth of workbooks, and I know we're going to be undertaking a study on finding the will of God, following the will of God, and fulfilling the will of God, which that's a 15-week course. We just got through with how to be a water walker, you know, how to walk in miracles and things of this nature. Pastor taught on the spirit, soul, and body, which probably is the single most teaching, great teaching that every person needs to go through. Spirit, soul, and body. Like I said, when you'll get rid of that attitude that I'm just an old sinner saved by grace, when you understand that your spirit man is perfect. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit. I like to use the word caulked, like you caulk a window. Why do you caulk a window in? First of all, it's to hold it in. But second of all, to keep the elements out. The Word says we can't be touched by sin. That's because I am caulked in with the Holy Spirit, and sin cannot touch my spirit man. It can affect my mind. It can affect my body. But it cannot affect my born-again spirit.
That's right.
And, you know, a lot of people get upset when you start talking about the grace of God. But, you know, and say, oh, well, you're just teaching people it's okay to sin. No, I'm not. You still need to repent of sin, but it's not because your born-again spirit has been affected. It's because sin will kill your physical body or destroy your mind. You repent to keep the devil off of you. You don't repent to get back in his good graces, because you started that as soon as you got born again. You entered into the grace and mercy of God forever.
Mm-hmm. And the more, like this, the study that you're doing, the more you realize what you already have, the power that you have, and you learn that when the enemy tries to come and you have that thought that contradicts what the Word says, you can immediately know, no, that's not right. I'm not going to believe that anymore. I'm not going to live by that anymore.
Right. Yeah, I think one of the biggest mistakes a lot of faith people or spirit-filled people get into, and I've seen so many people that were believing God was going to heal them, and they wind up dying. And I've had some people with great arguments say, well, this person was the greatest Christian I ever knew, and they were believing God was going to heal them, and they didn't get healed. Well, the problem is they were believing for something that had already happened. They kept waiting for him to do something when he was waiting for you to receive what he already gave you. See, all those spiritual blessings are stored in your spirit man, but you've got by faith to pull those things out of your spirit and apply it to your physical being. So God, Jesus is at rest. He's already done his job, and he gave us everything necessary to be successful, every spiritual blessing to put me over, to bring health and healing and prosperity to me. And God's not going to do it. It's a finished work. Jesus said it on the cross, to Tetelestai, it is finished. It is over. And in good Texan, mm-hmm. it's a done deal.
That's right. Amen. You just have to believe it and receive it.
Yeah, that's the main thing. And, you know, one of the biggest things is to realize that you can't get good enough or do enough works to get it. It's a gift. You've got to understand the grace of God. Everything is a gift. Your salvation is a gift. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith. In other words, it has to be received. It's grace to everybody that will receive it. You know, God has brought salvation to all men, but do all men get it? No.
No.
You've got to receive it. And when you get down to the nuts and bolts about salvation, you'll find out that salvation isn't just you go to heaven when you die. Salvation is the born-again experience. Salvation is healing. Salvation is deliverance. Salvation is prosperity. That word salvation is everything in the Bible rolled up into one word. But you got to receive it by faith. And the faith, you grow into that faith by hearing the word.
That's right.
Not the destroyed word, but the true word. The word that says, it's yours. Come get it.
That's right. Well, I was just wondering if you would be willing to pray for our listeners out there that maybe just whatever God may put on your heart, you know, there may be something that you feel strongly about that needs to be prayed for, but would you be willing to pray for our listeners?
Sure. The Lord gave me a revelation the other day because I've been praying for revival, and the Lord said, well, revival hit you when you were born again. But he said, revival comes when the eyes of their understanding are opened. And we're told in Ephesians to pray that. So I'm going to pray that over the congregation.
Oh,
Father,
that sounds great.
In the name of Jesus, I'm asking that every person that's hearing this, every person in our area right now, I'm asking that the eyes of their understanding be opened. That they will begin to see the goodness of God. They'll begin to see what he has done for them in the word, already done for them, that salvation is theirs, healing is there, prosperity is there. Everything in the word of God, every promise belongs to them. So, Father, I'm asking right now that as the eyes of their understanding begin to be opened, that the greatest move of God will begin to happen right here in this area of the panhandle. And I thank you for it and receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, we've started singing a new worship song at our church, and I was listening to it just before the radio show, and it just really speaks to me. The name of the song is I Trust in God by Elevation Worship. And I just really feel like I would like to play that song for our listeners. And so we're going to go ahead and play this song, and we'll be back here in just a minute.
Of his spirit.
Man, that song is just so powerful. I just want to sing it from the top of my lungs. All we have to do is trust in God. Everything that we have comes from Him. Everything that we need comes from Him. We just trust Him. Amen. Dr. Sharp, you still there with me?
Yes, ma'am.
I tell you, I know that sometimes people go through situations in life, like what you were talking about in Perigen. You know, God did this. You know, why did God do this? And we experience tragedy and heartache and those things, and we just have to trust God.
Mm-hmm.
And know that John 10:10 is true. That the thief, just like what you said earlier, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God has come that we may have life and have it to the full until it overflows. That's what the Amplified Version says.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's right. And so we can't run. We can't blame God.
Yeah. Actually, it's the lack of knowledge that kills us.
That's right. And I know why you're saying that, because the Bible says we perish for the lack of knowledge. That's right. And so we just want to encourage you to go out and just seek the Word. Don't always just take what you hear behind the pulpit for written in stone, but go and search it out yourself and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what His Word says. What does this Word mean for you? And what does God want to show you in this Word? And take it from God and take it from the Holy Spirit. I can't even remember. I should have wrote it down. But anyway, this particular verse is giving several adjectives for the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus saying that He's going to leave. He had to leave so that the Holy Spirit could come. And He could be the ultimate comforter. That may not be exactly how it was worded, but it was from the Passion Translation, so it's a little more, you know, today's language, but something to do with He's the ultimate comforter. He's the ultimate. He's all. He's everything.
He's the ultimate teacher.
That's right. And so, yeah. So do you have any words of encouragement for us this week? You know, we're going to start a new week, and we're in July, and it's hot.
Amen. My encouragement would probably be the same for every week. Get into the Word, find out who you are, what you have, and what you can do, because God has made you into a successful person if you'll just find out who you are.
That's right. So go and find out who you are. Go to the Word and read it.
Mm-hmm.
That's
and
right.
Then get out of self-deception by becoming a doer of the Word.
Mm-hmm. That's right. We have to be doers. You know, I was listening to a teacher over the last couple of days, and he was talking about, because it was one of the things we talked about at the very beginning of the show, was going out and being ministers, but he was talking about, how do you witness? And he says, what do witnesses do? If you just think about like a witness, someone that gets on the witness end, they tell about things that they have seen personally.
Right.
What their eyes have seen. And so they testify of what they have know and they see. So what does it mean to be a witness? To go and tell people what God has done for you.
Mm-hmm.
People can't argue with the fact of what God has done for you. They might try to argue doctrine, but why argue doctrine? I know who God is, and I know what He did for me. And if He can do it for me, I know He can do it for you.
Amen. He's no respecter of persons.
That's right.
What He
That's
did
right.
for one, He'll do for another.
That's right. And so we just pray that you go out in victory this week, that you find out who you are in Christ, the power that you have, and that you use that, and that you experience victory in everything that you set out to do. We just speak peace and favor over your life. Everything that you touch is blessed. Everything you touch prospers in Jesus' name. And we just pray that you have a good week and a good night's rest tonight. And we want to remind you that we do have our website, SundayNightLive.org. I haven't talked about that in a little while. But you can go back in and listen to any past episodes that are on there. We also have podcasts as well. So we just, if there's anything that you might want to share with somebody else that you think that might be a blessing to them, you can share that with them and do that. But we want to hear from you. Isn't that right, Dr. Sharp? We want to hear how God is working in your life or how this show has affected you. And if you would just go to the website, click on that email, you can email me, and we'll just share it on the radio. Amen, Dr. Sharp?
Amen. I used to be on a radio broadcast down in Central Texas, and the guy that came to me says, I'm going to offer this to you free. I said, why are you doing it free? He said, your teaching is so radical. A lot of these other pastors in town are going to get in line and pay to be able to contradict everything you're saying.
Well, I will tell you this. So I want to make a shout out to a listener that I have. I did receive a letter in the mail thanking me for the show, being on the show, and says she really enjoys it and she listens to it. And so we just want to say thank you so much for sending your letter. They sent it to Cornerstone Church and here in Wheeler. And so that was an encouragement. So if you can hear me tonight, just know that that was so much of an encouragement, way more than you'll ever know. And so I appreciate that. But it looks like we're about out of time here. So, Dr. Sharp, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us and always ready to teach the Word, the pure Word of God.
Amen. I appreciate the opportunity to, because my calling is primarily to believers, trying to teach them who they are. That's been my calling since the 70s, is to get the church to understand who they are. So I appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, well, we're going to keep having you on here, so I might wear you out, but we want to know the wisdom that you have. So we're definitely going to tap into that. And so we just want to say good night, everybody, and we will be back next week. God is on the-